Maybe I'll be happy in New Orleans. Maybe I'll be happy in a castle in Mexico. Maybe I'll be happy in a shooting bar. Bam!
This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. This warms your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your brain. Can you feel it, Randy and Jim? Can you feel it? Can you feel it working there? Is it working?
Oh, yeah.
Coming in.
I feel it.
Yeah, we're breaking in a new co-host here today in the Freedom Fiends' ongoing attempts at being bus-proof. Bus-proof basically means if I get hit by a bus, the show can go on. So Jim Jesus is joining us from Las Vegas, and we also have Randy England, the Wampus Cat. Jim Jesus does not yet have a radio wrestling name. Yeah, those usually come a few days after, or, you know, it just kind of appears. But if you have any suggestions, Jim, we're open to them. You got any?
What about the pit boss Bobcat? That sounds good.
The pit boss Bobcat. Yeah. Do you work in a casino?
No, I wish. That'd be awesome. Yeah. No, I take care of little old ladies.
Aw, that's so sweet. Are they aware you take care of them?
Sometimes not really.
Yeah.
You get a lot of weird, crazy ones.
Yep. Do you guys? I just got one of those balls that you roll around on, exercise balls. Do they have those in the exercise room there?
Oh, yeah. Those are the staple. Medicine balls too.
Yeah.
Those little staircases that go nowhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I must be over 50. I'm starting to. I haven't touched my weights in years, and I'm using the exercise devices that old people use.
And all you just need is butterscotch and Matlock, and you're good to go.
Do they still have Matlock reruns? I know that's a joke on The Simpsons. Ooh, Matlock's on. The old people like that.
I'm not there during the day, so I couldn't tell.
All right. So, yeah. Randy, what's going on in your week this week?
Well, not too much is going on. just kind of doing my stuff. I'm pretty happy right now. I just was able to settle a case that I've been beating on for months, and that always makes me feel good, you know, if you end up with a good result. So that's kind of cool, but it'd be boring to talk about it to anybody else, you know.
Yeah, we'd rather talk about Better Call Saul, I think.
Well, and we haven't talked about it because the one from last week, we were going to talk about it Tuesday night after it was on Monday night,
Dobby, and we didn't get to do it. Dobby was, I don't know, he's at Liberty Fest for about the next 4 weeks, I think. I don't know.
Yeah, and that was March the 2nd, I think.
Well, we could talk about it for sure.
Well, we should. I thought it was kind of interesting. So much happened in Better Call Saul that... you know, it's kind of fun, makes you wonder where things are going. I thought it was a good episode. I enjoyed it quite a bit and
I
thought
it.
About it a
Jim
little bit.
Jim wants to talk about the crazy sovereign citizen millionaire. That was kind of my favorite.
And so is the Freedom Fiends?
Spoiler alert. We're talking about a show that's on TV. I have to give that. I think it's an FCC requirement or something. I'm not sure. So go ahead, Jim.
So are we going to be the official radio show of Gulch, New Mexico?
Was that what he was calling it? No, what was he calling it? It was pretty funny.
I forget. It was like the sovereign land of New Mexico or something. I forget.
Ricky Sipes. Yeah, that's... Davi said that character is based on a character in the Illuminati trilogy, which is where the name Saul Goodman as an attorney name also comes from. But big Ricky Sipes, the millionaire who offered the attorney, Saul Goodman, $1 million to help him file papers to secede from the United States. And he was, Saul was pretty excited until, especially after the guy said, I can pay you half now. Do you want cash or check? And he said, cash. And he brought him out a silver plate with crisp $100 bills on it. And when Saul took off the wrapping on the $100 stacks, he noticed that the face on the money was the guy handing it to him.
So we got fiat money in Galt's Gulch now.
Well, all money is fiat money.
Yeah, if he'd written him the check on a real bank, that probably would have been better.
Yeah, well, all paper money is fiat money. Fiat actually has three meanings, and people confuse them a lot. One is it's any money declared into being by a government, by fiat, by order of the king or the president, which United States money would fit that description, but big Ricky Sipes's would not. Well, technically it would, I guess, if you buy the line that he actually is the king of his own sovereign domain. So yeah, so it's fiat money in that sense. And then fiat is also money that's not backed by anything. And there's a third meaning of it I can never remember, but I think that it would fit that description. But, you know, in the same sense that United States $100 bills would, except they're probably more spendable, at least at Las Vegas casinos. Wouldn't you think?
Yeah, we can only accept U.S. dollars. There's actually a casino that accepts Bitcoin and all of everything except for the casino floor because of Nevada gaming laws.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I would say that chips are fiat currency in a way, printed by, well, they're not even fiat because they're actually backed by something, other fiat currency. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. But at a specific exchange rate. If the tycoon, the rich guy, Sipes, if there had been an exchange rate, but I assume it was nothing, you know, to the U.S. dollar.
Yeah, well, I think it was shares in his new empire, his rattlesnake kingdom out there in New
Mexico. Yeah, but see, if it was backed by gold, I would have taken it because I could have just traded it. I'll just take the gold now.
I actually used to own some land in New Mexico. And I sold it and bought an AK-47. I owned, this is kind of bizarre. My family, well, my wife and I both were partially raised by a great aunt Ida, which is kind of weird. We had a great aunt Ida who was kind of getting up in years, come live with our family. And my great aunt Ida's brother had been the victim of a land scam. He got back from World War II, and he wasn't quite right in the head. He had shell shock. I guess it's what they called PTSD back then. And he was definitely not right in his head. And he got a postcard in the mail saying, invest money in New Mexico. It was basically we're drilling for oil. Help us finance, and you'll be rich. And the guy, over a period of months, and I know this because at one point I had all of the paperwork for this. My dad had saved all the letters from some fake land company in Los Angeles that was bilking this guy out of his money. And he bought basically rattlesnake land in New Mexico. And he bought one lot that was like 50 acres of desert and one lot that was, or two other lots that were 1/6 of an acre each. And at some point the guy had died and willed this to my father. And my father had entrusted the bank, his bank, to make the payments on the taxes on it, and they forgot to at one point. So he lost the big lot, which is kind of a drag. But my dad had paid the $4 a year or whatever taxes on the 2/6 of an acre lots that are across the street from each other on some far rural highway. I've looked at this on Google Earth, and it looked like the surface of the moon. But at one point, my dad gave me these two lots and signed. He got sick of paying the property tax and signed them over to me. And they were assessed at being worth a combination of $650. And so I put this on. At some point, I wanted to get rid of it because I wanted to buy a nice rifle. So I don't know if an AK is a nice rifle, but I wanted to buy that rifle. I put it on the internet. Like I put a for sale ad on a few like prepper sites. Now, here's the funny thing. Like, liberty people and prepper people will invest in the most ridiculous land schemes ever and lose all their money and still think, like, well, I have this piece of paper. I own this land in Chile. But this was actual bug-out land. You know, I mean, if you lived in a city, if you lived in Los Angeles or Las Vegas and you wanted to be able to bug out, this was land that was free and clearly mine. You could actually call the county clerk and determine that it's mine. And I put this on some prepper sites for $650 for these two 1/3 of an acre lots. And all these people accused me of like trying to scam, like, yo, that's a scam. And I'm like, no, this isn't a scam. You could actually call and find out that I do own this. So I actually found a guy who wasn't nuts, who wanted to own some land, who didn't own any land. And I sold it to him and he knew exactly what he was getting. He knew exactly, you know, it's full of rattlesnakes and there's no water for 40 miles and good luck. But, you know, he has some land. So I sold it. That's my my kingdom in New Mexico that I no longer have.
Speaking of, back to Saul and the sovereign citizen guy.
Mm-hmm.
Did you have something that you wanted to talk about? Some other sovereign citizen? Did I remember?
Yeah, Jim and I saying that? Jim and I had some dealings with a guy. I could read some of this. So basically, there's this thing called the Red Amendment. And I've said that I wouldn't talk ill of any libertarians on this show anymore, but this guy's not a libertarian. What would you say he is, Jim? You read some of his stuff.
Seems like more like a paleo conservative,
but combined with insanity. Paleo. Yeah.
Yeah. Very, very much. A lot of them are. A lot of them are.
Yeah. Randy, do you want to Google the Red Amendment and see if you can pull up some information on this and read it? I'll read the comments from the guy.
The Red Amendment.
Yeah. So basically, I encountered this book. Well, I never read the book, but I read all the stuff online. And people say, well, you're judging a book by its cover. No, I'm judging the book by how the guy who wrote it describes it on the site where he's trying to sell it. And he's trying to... he actually offers people services for doing trusts and things, sovereign citizen kind of trust, which is a really terrifying thought. I mean, I could see people losing their property over this. But the guy's name is L.B. Bork, not to be confused with. Wasn't there a Supreme Court judge?
Bork? Robert Bork?
Yeah, it's not him.
Is that the one that that we get the term borking everything up?
I don't know.
That you got borked back in the 80s. He was nominated by
Reagan.
Was it Reagan or Bush? I can't remember. Gee,
I don't know.
Well, he was one of them.
Well, he was not confirmed, right?
He shot down. Yeah. Yeah, he's never been on the court.
Yeah, he's the last one I think that was shot down. All right. Back when Congress had some Bebos. Back when men were men.
Viva Reagan.
People believed in America. All right, we'll be back.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Creamy Radio Audio. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. With articles on microphones, preamps, recorders, mastering, recording remotely over the internet, doing a podcast, even getting a show on actual radio, the Freedom Fiends show you what they use and where to get it. Whether you're a talk show host, voiceover artist, podcaster, evangelist, or just want to record your loved ones for the ages, at Creamy Radio Audio, the Freedom Fiends will help you make the most of your sound. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Here we go, counselor. Freedom Fiends. All right, we're talking about sovereign citizens here. Now, Jim Jesus. Are you there, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Are you safe?
Oh, yeah.
Have you been contacted by the government? All right, so you are a... For those who don't know, I'm not even going to say, Jim, tell us about yourself, since you're the new co-host. I'm going to tell people about you. You're a really funny guy. You are one of the only people I regularly chat with on the internet. You're probably the reason I haven't left Facebook, because I can IM with you. I like you for a lot of reasons, no homo. But one of the reasons really like you is you're one of the only people I know who's awake when I'm awake. Because you work nights. So you and I chitty chat sometimes over instant messenger on Facebook, which is the only thing you can easily read while you're at work. So, but you are, you're a tilter at, I would not say windmills because that means you're ineffective. You're effective at tilting at people who are wrong and who are sure they're right. And you have received death threats for going after the Church of Scientology. Is that correct?
Yeah. And followed by PIs when I was walking around LA and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. And you are.
And Kansas City.
You are one of the foremost Molyneuxites or anti-Molyneuxites or exposers of stuff on Molyneux.
And we're not going to get into that.
I'm not saying anything bad about them. Okay. I'm giving your resume. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you also go after religions, but you have the same amount of verve in going after atheists who are religious about it. Is that correct?
I really don't go after the religious. I really don't. I used to do that early on when I first became the whole atheist great debate thing was going around. I thought that was really cool and I got in on that. And then it just got to be the same thing over and over and over. And I just realized that there was a lot of Christians and Catholics that were doing a lot of good stuff for, I guess, science and skepticism. And I just kind of fell off that wagon. And I became more interested in abusive cults, fringe.
In debunking them.
Yeah. And pseudo cults, which is what I've been calling them, groups like the Zeitgeist Movement, which aren't cults, but they're very tribalistic and kind of dumb.
Yeah. And haven't you said the only people you won't go after are sovereign citizens?
Yeah, those are the only people I'd try to stay away from them.
Because they'll kill you?
White power, national socialists. Oop, I popped.
Yeah. So are you willing to talk about the Red Amendment?
I would.
Yeah. Okay. My first encounter with this concept was, me talking on the internet 4 or 5 years ago about somebody I knew who'd been arrested for something. And some woman that was friends with me on Facebook jumped in and said, well, you have to have her read the book, The Red Amendment, and you have to have her say these exact words to the judge and file this exact piece of paper with the court. Now,
In red crayon.
All capital letters, but sign your name not in all capital letters. So, yeah, it's voodoo, man. And so, Randy, you are an attorney. You're a practicing everyday attorney, and you are also a former prosecutor, which, of course, if we use you as an expert to debunk any aspect of sovereign citizens will, of course, say, well, of course, he's part of the empire. Of course he's going to say that. But have you had dealings with this kind of thought at all, this kind of legal, quote-unquote, meandering, Randy?
Well, I've never heard of the book, The Red Amendment, have not read it, but I've had some run-ins with sovereign citizens. I don't think that means necessarily one thing.
Yeah.
I know back in the 90s, when I was a pretty new prosecutor, we had a whole spate of them come through our courts in the county that I was in, and the thing that really annoyed me the most about them, that they were always coming in and claiming that they were sovereign and the court had no authority over them, but it was usually after they had done some damage, written a bad check or something. They were in legal trouble for some misbehavior. And not just usually a speeding ticket. I mean, something where, I'm sorry, you're not going to get away with it in any society.
Yeah.
And yet they were claiming that nobody owed, they didn't have any jurisdiction over them. And they came in and did crazy things like filed liens against the local circuit judge for some reason. And I really tried at the time to wrap my head around what these guys were doing. And it was kind of a mix of kind of half, utterly, completely crazy, off the wall. I couldn't understand it at all. And the other half had some legal theories that were half-baked but had already been rejected years before. And between the two, there was nothing there.
We'll be back on the Freedom Fiends with Randy England and Jim Jesus talking about the sovereign worms. They're going to put a lien on my microphone.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends, talking about the sovereigns. Now, here's my thing about sovereign citizens. Most of what they claim should be correct. You know, I mean, a lot of the things that courts claim to have jurisdiction over people for, I don't think that courts should have jurisdiction over people for. And, you know, taxes are immoral. Here's what I say. I actually heard a guy tonight in Free Talk Live talking about how they had him on for like a half hour, and he's talking about how his dad had refused to pay property taxes and then died and passed the house on to him. And he went to court and challenged the city on, like, produce the instrument that says you have the right to tax me. And the city did not have it. And they had a really old school judge who's no longer alive who basically said, yeah, the city should produce that, and put another date up, and the city didn't show up. So the guy, the judge ruled that the guy didn't have to pay his back taxes. And at some later point, the city got their paper ducks in a row and took the guy's house. And he was still claiming that he'd had some kind of victory. That's the kind of mentality that really gets me about a lot of these people. You know, but what I'm saying is, like, you should not have to pay property tax, and it's immoral. But the tax protesters I respect are the ones that just say, taxes are immoral, I'm not going to pay them. I can see that. I can see someone doing that and tip my hat to them. They're still going to lose their property, but or go to jail. But when people have these arcane, magical thinking, magic words based on Black's Law Dictionary and the Universal Commerce Code, and think that they've found the loophole in the government, and moreover, think that the government's going to honor that loophole if it is an actual loophole, it's mind-blowing to me. And what do you think, Randy? You've had experience with these people.
Don't remember the 14th Amendment, too. They like that quite a bit. I remember the
That's the Red Amendment. He calls this the Red Amendment because he says that's the amendment that made that made it a communist country or a socialist country.
The first time I ran into this thing with them filing liens, I was in the middle of a criminal jury trial that I was prosecuting, and it's during a break in the trial, and I'm back in the judge's chambers, and I don't know what we're talking about. The defense attorney and me and the judge are sitting there, and in bursts the county clerk, I think it was, or the assessor, whoever it is that keeps the records of property. And, you know, when you get a lien put on your property, you got a big problem. I mean, once the lien is in there and it's filed, I don't think you can get it out without a court order or satisfying the lien or that sort of thing. So it's really serious to get a lien put on you. So anyway, the county recorder, that's who it was, came, you know, busts into the judge's chambers in the middle of this trial and says, Judge, that one of these nuts has come in here and wants to file these liens on your property. And she says, should I do it? And the judge says, no. And that was the end of it. They never filed, never got away with having any of them actually legally filed, and nothing ever came of it. But I thought that was kind of funny at the time.
Yeah.
But I would say that whatever he says is wrong because he's Esquire, and that means he bows to the Queen. So
that is the talk,
what it's worth.
That is one of the arguments, isn't it, Jim?
Yeah. They said that there was some amendment that was passed into the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that was suppressed somehow, that said that lawyers could not take office because they still bowed to the Queen. Which is not true.
We only bow to the judge. We don't bow to the Queen.
I've also heard the theory that that
or at least you stand for him.
I've heard of people in a court of law not saying, I don't recognize this court of law, because there is fringe on that flag and a fleur-de-lis topping it off on the flag pole holder, and that means it's a court of admiralty and you have no jurisdiction here because we're on land. You ever heard that one, Randy?
Yeah, you know, and my judge that just said, well, no, don't accept the filing. You know, this is the same judge. If somebody came in and said, he was pretty mellow. He didn't get upset with people if they came in and said, well, I don't accept your jurisdiction for this reason or that reason. He'd say, well, thank you, I appreciate that, and let's move on, and that would be the end of it. And you know, you couldn't really get the guy's goat because he wasn't going to give you any more.
Well, yeah,
because
he has the jurisdiction and he has the guns to back it. So it's, of course, he's going to say, you know, it's pretty easy to say,
yeah,
okay, that's nice, that's cute, yeah.
But a judge can be full of himself and be,
oh yeah,
you know, really angry and find you in contempt and that if they want to.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never had much respect for that kind of a judge, but a lot of them are not that way. I mean, their status and all of that, but they don't really know it. I mean, it's kind of like at the time I really was too, but I didn't.
Jim, you want to jump in here?
No, not what I did at the time.
He still bows to the queen, man. Oh, the queen. No, but yeah, I mean, even if you could get any of these magical spells casted at the courtroom, the judge has jurisdiction at the end of the day, and he can be like, eh, whatever, get out of here. You owe us money. Yeah. We're throwing you in jail.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It does not matter.
So this guy, L.B. Bork, so what happened was 4 years ago or 3.5 years ago, very early Freedom Fiends, I just encountered this woman telling me all about the Red Amendment. And when I told her that's not going to work in a court of law, she started arguing with me. I mean, she was defending this theory. I've rarely seen a religious person defend their religion more than this person was defending these crackpot theories as not only valid and ethical, which, you know, I wouldn't necessarily give them any argument on that, but as it will work, you know, like basically, I mean, this woman said, if you write your name in all caps or don't write it in all caps, I forget what it is. I think they say it's not in all caps because in all caps is how names are in legal filings, and they call that a graveyard name, and it's a dead person because that's how things are on tombstones, or they call it a tombstone name. And they believe that some of them believe that if you put your name not in all caps, or put something after your name, or put something special with your name, that the government cannot touch you. And I said, okay. And she lived in New York City, and I said, okay, you believe this, so write your name in all caps or not all caps, whatever you're saying. And then strap a pistol on your hip and then walk down to Times Square and smoke a joint. And when a cop comes up to try to kill you and arrest you, you tell him he has no jurisdiction here and let me know how it works out for you. And she told me it would work. Like some of these people believe that they have this shield cloak of invisibility from the legal system because they do these meanderings. So this guy, L.B. Bork, Nima Vedati and I mentioned the Red Amendment in passing and laughed at it for about 2 minutes, about 3.5 years ago. So last week, Derek J couldn't, we had a night where there was no live show. It's pretty rare, but it happens sometimes. So we played a repeat from that Sunday. And then for the website, when that happens, what I do is I put up an old episode and say, you know, no show tonight. Here's a best of Fiends or a classic Fiends. And it happened to be the one that had the Red Amendment talk in it, and it had the word the Red Amendment in the show notes. So that suddenly went out in Google again. I guess this guy, L.B. Bork, has Google Alerts set up in his name. And he posted on the Freedom Fiend site, the Red Amendment speaks the truth and exposes planned opposition plans, such as the ones that get people to use the word statist. There is no limit to useful idiots or operatives. I make no distinction between the two. They both create the same damage. So this guy is posting on my site that since I don't agree with him, I am either a government operative or a useful idiot. And that's another thing about sovereigns and anybody kind of related to that, like that 1214 tax thing or whatever it's called. The thing that Larkin wrote, the
816.
Yeah.
The 816.
Yeah. Whenever you criticize those people as like, okay, so there is a loophole in the tax code. You could say this is a loophole and they are wrong and you're right because you found it. But people have tried that loophole over and over and over and ended up in prison for it. And people still believe it will work because it's a loophole that hasn't been closed. It's been closed by the fact that they've put people in prison over it. But whenever you criticize any of these people and say, hey, I don't think that's going to work most of the time in a court of law, they either call you a useful idiot or a government operative. And generally the latter. They generally go straight to you are part of the Borg. You're undercover. I've also never heard have you guys ever heard the theory that he's saying here that using the word statist is a government plan?
I don't understand how that would be an effective tool. We're talking about how government's evil all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, you support the state, therefore you're a statist. And that somehow supports the state?
Maybe it's because this guy is kind of a patriot. A lot of these people, you know, they kind of talk like anarchists, but they're not anywhere near there because they don't want to get rid of government. They want to try to fix it and like freeze it at some mythical point in the past between, you know, this amendment and that amendment when they think it was correct. So I don't understand.
You know, one thing that I really so much dislike about the people that do this, they have these weird theories like you should be able to get out from under, say, a court's jurisdiction because of this little thing or that little thing. Now, I'll admit, so many things that the courts do, you ought to be able to get out anyway. I mean, the drug war and who knows what else. But there's also things like being charged with assault and murder and theft and things that the courts do that they have to do whether we have a government or we have private courts. It's going to happen. So when you have people who think they can go up and say, well, Judge, here's my argument that the charges in all caps are that our names are in all caps, and therefore that changes it. Even if suppose that guy got up there and actually made a good argument that won, and the judge said, you know, I think you're right. I think you're right in this all caps thing, and you've got something there, and I'm going to rule in your favor. And then the judge, who's not going to let like a murderer or a thief or something get away, you know, on something trivial, because they are supposed to be there, you know, for justice, you know, rather than just trivial loopholes and that, is going to look over and say, Mr. Prosecutor, would you like to step up here and amend that charge so that it's not in all caps? And he'd let him walk up there. he would write the names out in small letters and say, will that do it, Judge? And said, that'll be just fine. Now let's go on with this case. That's how it would work.
Yeah.
And that's how it would, even if you won the argument, that's what would happen. And that would be fair.
I
don't even get them. Even when they win their argument, they're going to lose.
Yeah, I don't know if it'd be fair, but it would be fair because the court said it's fair. It'd be what happens in that court.
No, it would be fair because you should stand for you know evil you do.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, I see.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
For some reason, in this country and in a bunch of Western world, it's okay to just judge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created FiendPhone. I'm using FiendPhone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about FiendPhone.
FiendPhone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com. But we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com. FeenPhone.com. Foxtrot, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone. I never knew remote audio could be this good.
Because we're bus proof. Randy got hit by a bus. Freedom Fiends. It's Michael Dean talking to Jim Jesus. And is Randy England still droned, hit by a bus? Where is he? Well, the Freedom...
It seems so.
The Freedom Fiends are bust-proof, and we have spares all around, so Jim's going to get his chance to shine here. So we're talking about this guy, this sovereign citizen guy, Bork, L.B. Bork, So basically, I'm just reading my beefs on nationally syndicated radio. You know, I got in a fight on the internet. See, most people get in a fight on the internet, you're fighting with somebody on the internet. You get in a fight with me, you're fighting. I'm going to read my side of it. I'm going to read it with like making me look better on nationally syndicated radio. So I said to Bork, "You're a cult leader peddling snake oil. Get off my property." And then I read this thing on his site. This is such classic. He thinks he's the Freedom Pope. He thinks he's... There he is.
Oh, yeah.
So Bork thinks... We're talking. We're on radio. So you step away. You get hit by a bus. We just keep going. Freedom Fiends cannot be stopped.
Do
so,
it.
So I'm just reading my beefs and internet fights on the radio. So this guy, Bork, says on his website, if you fail to join PAC, which is his thing, it's People's Awareness Coalition, which is really funny because he claims to be an anti-communist, but his organization is called People's something. So he says, if you fail to join People's Awareness Coalition and help by assistance or donation, you are in fact defaulting to agree to continue and support and fund the New World Order and its policy goals. So he's basically saying, if you don't give him money, your grandchildren will condemn you because they'll be living in North Korea.
You're either with us or you're with the terrorists.
Yeah. He's using, that's why he doesn't like the word statist, because he is one and he's trying to make his own state, man. Yeah. That's what I think.
Good so, gig Jim, if you can get it.
Yeah. Apparently people give him money and like pay him for like financial advice and setting up trusts and things. So, Jim, you got comments on this guy or the whole
thing?
Should
I give him a $2 donation?
No.
Not enough. Not enough.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. look, these whole things, when they get into court, and I've seen people do this, and I'm not going to mention names, but I've seen people who have like taken these things to court, these magic spells, and they throw them, and then they come out after they get out of jail or they do in jail interviews, and they say, "Well, it was never explained to me why." And if you go and you look up a lot of these court documents and stuff, you can, or look up the newspaper articles, you can see them saying like, "Here's the reason why it was explained to him during the court. Like, this is why it's invalid. This is why your argument doesn't fly." And they get told this multiple times, and they just, you know, they come back out and say, "It was never explained to me," when it was. Yeah. And it's pretty clear why. And you can go on the internet and look up why these arguments are false. There's a tax protester frequently asked questions, and everything is on there, including the 816,
are you talking 14th about the Amendment, the IRS site?
All that stuff.
Are you talking about the IRS site?
No. It's not from the IRS. It's called the Tax Protester FAQ. And I don't know who's running. I think it's a tax attorney. And he goes through all of the lists and he explains it to him. And some of the ones are like ridiculous, like the red crayon stuff. And
is
the
8161. I thought that was a joke. What's the red crayon thing?
No. I really can't find too much information about it. I've seen some videos of people saying like, if you fill out your tax form and you put on there like, you know, "This violates my Fifth Amendment," and you write it in red crayon, then they can't like sue you in court or something like that. But they all do. There's a website called redcrayons.net. It looks like it hasn't been updated for a while. And they talk about some of the crazier ones and all the people's going to jail, including the Ed Brown one, Kent Hovind, all of the crazy ones that have come around.
Yeah, I'm looking at
and the Kent Hovind one was particularly interesting.
Motley Fool, which is a probably solid tax advice site or economics advice site, has an article called "Audit Proof Your Tax Return" with a question mark that talks about this and has comments of "No, this won't work. This is foolish." Yeah, and red crayon tax, man. Yeah, there's an article on something called Wikidot. I thought it was Wiki Idiot, but it's about the red crayon thing. I've never heard that. I thought you were kidding when you said that.
Mm-mm. Not kidding.
Now, which is not to say that that filed papers with a court, handwritten, don't work. That can work, right, counselor?
Well, sure. And you know, I think a complaint about having a fringe on a flag is nuttier than what kind of ink a legal document's written in.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, a legal document, it couldn't matter less what a legal document is written in. It really doesn't matter.
Just has to be legible. I think a lot of stuff, people file
it's
stuff
genuine.
From court, from jail, people file stuff that's filed.
Oh, crazy looking stuff, but it's valid. Yeah.
Yep. All right, we'll be back with hour two of the Freedom Fiends after this trip to the free market.
Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Called right then.
Oh, this is the Freedom Fiends.
Now!
Broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Libair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. I'm your host, Mr. Michael W. Dean, and I'm talking to Counselor Randy England, the Fiends attorney, and he's a lion of an attorney. He's a big cat of an attorney, you can tell. Don't mess with him. He'll get you with his wampus cat. And we're talking to our newest co-host here, Jim Jesus. How are you, Jim?
Awesome. How are you?
Speak up. Talk like you're on the radio, son.
Oh, okay. I'm doing fantastic. How about you?
Yeah, you don't have to yell, but that's
okay.
I'm glad. Thank you for your enthusiasm.
But that was much better.
That was much better. Yeah. Split the awesome. Difference and we're good. This is a teaching hospital. The Freedom Fiends is a teaching hospital. And we're talking about sovereign citizens. Now, here's the kind of the funny thing. Like, Randy or Jim did say in the first hour that sovereign citizens are not one thing. You know, there's different there's probably sovereign citizens who scream at each other that the other ones are wrong. It's not a set belief, but it is a set belief that that the government has loopholes that have been kept from people. And if you master these loopholes, you can go into court and have things go your way. And we think that's silly. These people kind of sound like anarchists, but they're not. If only they were anarchists. But no, they believe in that there should be some kind of government. They generally are kind of patriotic. And they think they can fix things and meander things by studying forums about law. And I got in an argument with one recently, this guy who wrote something called The Red Amendment, which is a book that's supposed to tell you how to stay out of the law, out of the way of the law. And so either you got comments on that concept?
Well I don't. Go ahead, Jim. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim.
Go ahead. It's a spectrum of different types of beliefs. I mean, you have some that are fairly libertarian who just adopt the term because they think that they're sovereign citizens, all the way up to like the Bill Cooper people who are like, you know, we have to take back, you know, the country and we got to do it with with arms. And if you come to my house, I'll shoot you and all kinds of crazy stuff. So, I mean, there's a spectrum between them. And it seems like Brock is more on the crazier end, but it doesn't seem going to like kill Bork. Excuse me. Yeah. I borked that up, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
And he's more on the crazy end of the spectrum, but not the dangerous crazy, I don't think,
I think you can be dangerous without shooting people. I think it's dangerous to offer people, to charge people money or for free, give people advice that you convince them is – legitimate that's going to get them in harm. I mean, you know, if an attorney did that, it would be legal malpractice, wouldn't it, counselor?
Yeah.
Well, sure it would. You know, I'm not sure that everybody that goes in for the voodoo is necessarily a government type or wants government. I know there's plenty of people who really are anarchists that want a stateless society. And I think one of the people, you know, that you've discussed in the past is probably Mark Stevens, who I don't necessarily agree with all of the tactics, whether they would work in court or not, but I think that he's a stateless guy and not a statist. Even though I don't believe that you can get anywhere by going into court and, you know, start grilling the judge about who they represent and stuff like that, you know, that they tend to do. I don't think that gets you anywhere. Oddly enough, though, you know, I mean, if you got somebody that was, I don't know, dumb enough, like maybe an administrative hearing officer or something, they might be taken aback by it, but I've never seen a real judge on the bench that would be fazed by any of that.
Oh, they've all got their claims to victories, and sometimes they're even on video. But and for the record, I didn't say anything bad about Mark Stevens. Somebody else brought him up.
No, I don't mean to be doing that at all. I think he's on our side. You know, I question about how well some things work. You know, one of our fiends, Derek J, you know, I've watched some of his cases. He's got some, they're kind of humorous or amusing to watch, I guess is the thing to say. He's got his parking ticket cases that he has. And of course, he uses a lot of these different tricks. But when the maximum fine is a $5 fine, you know, for an offense that you're on trial for, that's a heck of a good place, you know, to just try to make sparring points with the judge. And he does that. Yeah, he does it to good effect. You know, and the whole point of saying to the judge, who do you represent? I mean, there is a point to that. It's not crazy or anything. The point you're trying to make is that both you and this guy sitting over here, this prosecutor, are both paid by the same government. And that is a conflict of interest. It's a good point. It won't get you anywhere, but it's a good point.
Yeah, and what works in Keene, New Hampshire is probably not going to work in Los Angeles Municipal Court or Chicago.
No, it doesn't work in Keene, New Hampshire either, but you can make the point. No, Derek's going to pay the $5 when it's over, but he's got to make his point.
He's having fun.
It was a cheap.
It's theater. It's
it's
political theater, and I'm not undermining what Derek does. What Derek does is very different from what some of these people do who are trying to not pay income tax or property tax for 10 years and then are surprised when, you know, federal agents with guns show up and take their house and put them in prison. Yeah, that's different.
No, yeah, I'm all for using the Mark Stevens stuff. If it's going to be like a performance art or if you're trying to make a political point, that's great stuff.
Exactly.
But to think that you're going to get off, if you think you're going to get off, you are lost. You don't know what you're doing. You really need to talk to an attorney.
Well, a lot of these guys, too. Oh, but a lot of these people, too, say that anybody who says talk to an attorney is the devil. You know, I mean, I've been called when I was criticizing Mark Stevens a few years ago because I felt he was endangering a friend of mine who he reached out to and said, let me help you. And she thought he was an attorney, and he gave her advice that would have ended her up in prison. And she actually just got a public defender at Randy's suggestion and, you know, ended up paying some fines. It was just for felonies. That's the big difference. Like, if this is traffic ticket stuff, it's probably worth doing and it's fun. But if it's felonies, there's too much at stake, I think, to try this kind of stuff there. And I think that a lot of people who study this kind of stuff and are experts, so-called experts in it, really fail to I think they start doing it full-time and they think about it full-time and it kind of bubbles around in their head until they think this is the way to approach any court case. And I've seen that, and I've seen when anybody says the criticism that all three of us are saying here, which is, yeah, it might be worth doing for a traffic ticket. It's probably not worth doing if your whole house is at stake or your life savings or your freedom and you're facing felonies for drugs in Texas, like my friend was. I've had these people just in mass come on my site and post comments just condemning me and calling me a government agent. That's a really common thing, is if you disagree with a lot of these people, they instantly decide that you are a Fed who's infiltrating the liberty movement.
You know, I don't even have a problem with someone who would use such tactics, theater, and that's a good word for it, such tactics, even in a very serious case,
if it's for them,
that's their choice.
If it's for them and they understand the ramifications of it. I mean, an example for me would be Abbie Hoffman during the 60s, who was a communist, and I don't like communism, and he believed in violent overthrow of the government, and I don't believe in that kind of violence. I only believe in self-defense violence, and people could argue all day long about whether that's self-defense or not, but Abbie Hoffman was a colorful character, and he was the first person I ever read. I read him when I was 12 years old. I read Steal This Book, and that guy was funny, and that guy would be facing, you know, decades in prison and challenge the judge openly in the court and do things like come wearing an American flag shirt and stand up and start quoting the Constitution while the prosecutor's speaking, and you know, did a lot of really theatrical things like dumping money out onto the ground from the observation deck at the New York Stock Exchange to watch everybody scramble. That guy was funny, but he wasn't risking everyone else's freedom. He was risking his own, and he totally understood. And he had lawyers. Like, he didn't try to do this on his own. He had attorneys in court with him, and he would often defy what his attorneys told him to do. But he didn't go into the belly of the beast, you know, without someone who understood what the rules of the beast were.
Yeah, if you want to do that, you at least need to talk to an attorney to tell you what's going to happen to you when you do it.
Have you had people come to you for that and pay you ever? Or they just want free advice?
Frequently, if you tell them what's going to happen, they decide they don't want to do that. And
they don't ever just say, oh, you're an agent of the Queen, and that's why you're telling me this?
You know, that's the kind of remark that you can make when it's not your butt on the line. Mm-hmm. People get serious, you know, when it's their own skin.
Yeah.
And most of the time they'll say, I don't know, this maybe is not the hill I want to die on. You know, I mean, there can be plenty of causes, and I'm not in any position to rank, you know, whether this is a cause for you to be a martyr about.
Yeah.
And a tax protester or a draft protester or a war protester who wants to go and throw eggs on a nuclear silo or some kind of thing like that. I mean, a lot of those people do those things, and they intend to go to jail for it. And so everything they do from beginning to end is a political statement.
Yeah, like those nuns recently that broke into a nuclear missile silo to prove how bad the security was. They knew they were going to go to prison.
Yeah, and you know, when I see that, I mean, whether I agree with their particular cause or not, I admire it.
Yeah, me too.
I like civil disobedience. I think that's okay for me to say that.
Yeah. I mean, again, you know,
violence, though.
I'll go back to the only tax protesters I really have respect for are the ones who say, I don't want to pay tax, and don't do it. Whereas I don't have a lot of respect for the ones who believe they've found some arcane secret that prevents them from being required by law to pay tax. That's just not going to work well. And there's so much evidence against that working. I mean, you know, everybody from Larkin Rose to Wesley Snipes has gone to prison for it, and there's still people trying it. I don't know. People want to believe. I guess that government is so horrible that people want to believe there's a magic formula to get out of it, is what it comes down to. We'll be back.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
Let's do that on the air. That's
all cool. Right, go ahead and try to trap me on the air. Okay?
Yeah, I'll try to trap you on the air. This is Michael Dean on the Freedom Fiends talking to Randy England and Jim Jesus. And Randy England is a pretty hip guy. You wouldn't know it. You'd think, man, that guy's going to yell at me for my beliefs. I can tell. He looks
he's
like,
so square.
He looks square. You're a handsome guy, but you look, I don't know, you look like somebody that would work in a courthouse or something. Can I say that?
I just had a birthday. I'm a year older, and I did work in the courthouse for a long time. I still work in the courthouse.
So, Randy, and, you don't like me to say you're a devout Catholic, because what did you say about, you're a practicing Catholic. What did you say about devout Catholics?
Well, I don't know. I'm always kind of afraid of the description devout, just because, you know, the guy who calls himself the devout this or devout that is usually the guy that ends up caught with a hooker next week in a hotel or something, you know.
Okay.
And there's something that just makes me shy away from something like that.
Yeah, it's a lot to live up to.
I try, okay? You know, go from there.
You go to church and you read the Bible, right?
Well, yeah, I do my best.
Okay, how old do you think the Earth is? There's only two answers for this, and one's correct.
Well, I it's billions of years old.
Okay, we can talk to you. We can talk to you then. All right. So Jim.
No, you could have more fun with me if I had said it was 6,000 years old. I think
we would just talk about that for 2 hours if you said that.
Yeah.
Okay. So Jim, you wanted to talk about the kingdom of heaven.
Oh, okay.
And so, not the kingdom of heaven, but something on earth called the kingdom of heaven. Go ahead.
Or something like that. There is a guy who sells an opportunity for you to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, where you can get your own license plate.
What gives him the right?
I don't know.
Who put him in charge?
How come he gets to make it and I can't? I can't just print it off of my computer. I mean, why not?
Yeah.
It's probably copyrighted, but and he'll send you a passport, and you will be an official citizen of the kingdom of God, and you're not applicable for sales tax or any kind of taxes whatsoever, and you're fine because, you know, if anyone ever questions you, you can say, like, well, I'm not even a part of your country.
I'm just passing through.
And there was, yeah. And
so
there was
this
a
we're talking about a sovereign citizen thing, right?
This is what we're talking about.
Okay, I got you.
And this was kind of made popular by a guy named Kent Hovind, who was a young earth creationist proselytizer guy who used to go around and do talks about young earth creationism and debunk evolution and quote unquote.
Oh, he's in prison. He's in prison, isn't he?
Yeah, he's in prison now. Huh. He's in prison over this. And he used to also you can go on his YouTube channel and find all these talks where he's talking about how you can get away with not paying income taxes through this system.
Hovind is H-O-V-I-N-D, if people want to look this up.
Yes.
Kent Hovind. Yeah.
And he still has his videos up on how to do all that. I'm not going to look up what the titles are. You can do it. It's not that hard. And so he was arrested, and he had his dinosaur adventure park seized, which was an amusement park where you could go and teach your kids about young earth creationism and how man walked with the dinosaurs, and you can go and look at the dinosaurs statues, and I think there was a few rides and stuff like that, but most of it was just kind of like young earth creationism indoctrination.
And then explain the concept young earth creation. We were joking about that, but what is that for people who don't know?
So they believe that the earth is true. They believe the Genesis version of the Bible, created in 7 days, the Earth is 6,000 years old, and that the reason why we have dinosaur bones in the ground is because man used to walk around with dinosaurs, because everyone used to live 600 or 6,000 years hundreds of years, and dinosaurs became that big because lizards never stopped growing and they lived to be that long. Crazy, crazy stuff.
It's called Dinosaur, it's called Dinosaur Adventure Land. And
there we go.
It's in Pensacola, Florida, and we are on the radio in Pensacola, Florida.
Ah, so I guess you can drive by and see what's left of it. I think it's still open under a different company. I'm not sure. I think they ended up selling it off.
It's been described, the biggest complaint I can find about it, other than it's not based on science, is it's shabby. It was a shabby park to bring your kids.
Yeah, I remember.
Jurassic Park or something?
No, it was like an amusement park that taught that the Earth was 6,000 years old.
Yeah, and there was lots of dinosaurs around.
Dinosaurs and stuff.
They had some fiberglass dinosaurs, and
yeah,
you know, some things where you press a button and something talks at you and teaches you. Someone described it as essentially a playground with a few exhibits, several fiberglass dinosaurs, a climbing wall, and a couple of buildings. It can be summed up in a word, shabby. The dinosaurs looked shabby, the displays were shabby, the attraction and the activities were shabby, and above all, the ideas were shabby.
But not too shabby.
Not too shabby. That was pretty good for the Redneck Riviera.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squiscar Squig Elves from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess it says worms now, so there you go.
You've read books, attended lectures, and you know the Constitution well enough to know it's a well-crafted blueprint to create an ever-increasing federal empire. But there's still one thing missing.
Buttons!
Freedom Fiends now has buttons. You'll get state speech as hate speech, guns and weed,
buy sheep for sheep on sheep,
and two designs for the Freedom Fiends. Wear them with pride. Use them to start conversations with statists.
It's only $10 for 10 buttons, including shipping.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
You know.
You have a trilobite on your dresser, you sinner?
Yeah, I have a trilobite on my dresser that is 100 million years old or more. I don't know. 500 million.
So you say. So you say.
But then I'm just bound to it. So.
Freedom Fiends.
Carbon dating's a lie.
Freedom Fiends, comforting the uncomfortable and making the comfortable uncomfortable. No, what's that saying? I can't remember. So we're talking about young earth creationism. I don't even know what the topic is. Where do you guys want to go with this? We were talking about sovereign citizens, young earth creationists,
dinosaur
people
land.
People who are wrong. Jim, tell us more about yourself and your ongoing tilting at the wrong people in the world. At the people who are wrong, not the wrong. You're tilting the right people, but the correct people.
Yeah, but I'm not supposed to mention. I'm not supposed to do it here, though.
Well, if they're not libertarians, I mean, that's my new rule, and it's ridiculous, and we think we've already broken it. But go ahead.
All right, so I guess one thing I could talk about is the Zeitgeist movement. What's been going on with those guys lately?
Yeah,
apparently one of their
You're burying the lead. Yeah, there are people listening to this who are like, what is that? I don't know what that is. So explain the Zeitgeist movement and what it came out of.
Is this that movie that came out a few years ago?
Yes.
That had the stuff about Jesus was Horus, was Isis, was something. Is that it?
Kind of. Okay, so there was this film called Zeitgeist. Yeah, Zeitgeist the movie, and it was three parts. So the first part was about how Jesus was an astrological parallel, and the next part was either like taxes or 9/11, you know, the tax protester stuff. And that got like a big following, and people were asking like, well, what can we do to solve all these problems? And so the guy who created it, Peter Joseph Merola, who found this guy named Jock Fresco, and he was selling some kind of snake oil utopian vision where it's basically communism with robots. And he didn't realize, you know, because, you know, if you're not exposed to this stuff, you don't realize what it is. And
this thing has a million.
It's not communism.
This thing has a million hits on YouTube, by the way.
Oh, yeah, millions of hits.
But
a lot of people are just watching it over and over again.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm still here. I just knocked my microphone. I'm sorry. I need a shock mount. So what happened was they got like this following of people who were communists but didn't realize it to follow him. And he started, you know, he still has like the stuff about the conspiracies and, you know, a bunch of anti-scientific stuff that goes on. But they're still trying to present themselves as like the scientific movement where, you know, they're for the application of science to social concerns. And And so it was kind of gaining steam for a while, and it kind of died off. And the reason why it's been dying off is because they're not doing anything except for self-promotion. The guy who was originally selling the idea of communism said, "You guys are crazy. I'm out of here."
Who was that?
Jock Fresco.
Okay.
The originator of the resource-based economy, the robots, Marxism stuff. And so now I guess a lot of people in the upper echelons of the movement are now leaving and saying that the guy, Peter Joseph, the guy who started the movement, is the de facto leader, even though he keeps saying that he's not. He still unilaterally kicks people
out,
decides what they're going to do.
Isn't this based on something else? What's the French thing that this is based on? Is it French? There was another movement.
Le Corbusier. The Corbusier?
In the 60s. I thought Zeitgeist was based on something else. No, it had a kind of even more normal.
It's German.
It had a
German, spirit of the age, right?
No, it had a name that was more normal than Zeitgeist. Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I think it was the Le Corbusier.
I don't know. There's something that was actually it started some French guy. No, this is something from Florida. Venus Project. Is that it?
Yeah. This was Jock Fresco.
Okay.
The Venus Project. Well, that's what the Zeitgeist was originally pushing until he told them to kick rocks. And so now they're doing their own thing. And everything is according to Peter Joseph's will. So
now there's also a spinoff from it, sort of, that's even wackier. That's the guy from, the guy that owns the heir to the soap factory. What's his name? You know what I'm talking about?
I think he's not trying to split thrive, off. He's thrive. More kind of taking their idea of promotion to
the Thrive movement.
I wouldn't even really call it anarcho-capitalism.
Basically took a bunch of, actually both of them, but especially the Thrive movement, seemed to take a bunch of kind of popular conspiracy theories and throw them in a blender. That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say that the Thrive movement makes the Zeitgeist movement, like the Zeitgeist movies, look like a PBS documentary. Yeah. They're that crazy. Yeah.
So tell me, so what's up with the Zeitgeist movement? What's the news?
Okay, so one of the major people, one of the guys who helped write the book on the Zeitgeist movement, announced officially that he's leaving the group and he wants nothing to do with the guy who's creating it, and he's been calling him out. And they're saying the same things that I've been saying for years, that Peter Joseph controls every aspect of it. He is the leader. They promote anti-scientific stuff, pseudoscience. And these are and every time I ever say these things, I get called a troll, just like another group that I used to criticize used to do. The same thing. Oh, he's a troll. Ignore him.
Are you talking about some group?
But now that it's coming from
some prominent YouTuber from Canada who calls himself a philosopher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Man, Jim is going to make me break my own rules. I know it. I'm trying here. So go on. Zeitgeist.
Talking about Zeitgeist, man.
They are not libertarians. We can talk about them. Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he left and he's making the same arguments that I've been making for a while against them. And now they're taking all those criticisms very seriously, and they have the large petition. There's a lot of people signing, and it's like, I've been saying this for years. no one was listening to me, and starting to go like, okay, maybe Jim was right all these years. He's not just an evil troll after all.
Is anybody actually saying that to you, or they still hate you? In my experience, people...
There's a few people.
people who are convinced.
One of the guys who wrote one of the manifestos. Yeah, one of the people that wrote one of the manifestos have, you know, kind of let it some support. So
yeah,
for what it's worth. But
Jim, was there also some? I remember watching the movie way back when. Wasn't there also some 9/11 conspiracy stuff involved in it, or not? Am I mixing that up?
I think you're talking about Thrive.
Okay,
maybe.
So the first movie was about the Jesus astrological parallel, and then 9/11. And the tax thing. But then the second movie, they were trying to distance themselves from that and went just talking about the problems of today and then how we need communism to fix it. And then the next movie was supposed to be like a better version of that, because there was still kind of stuff about 9/11 truth and you know, a lot of stuff about the Fed, that it was conspiratorial. So they made another film to make it more appeasing to a wider audience, and it was working for a while, and people kind of was like, yeah, you may be right, but this guy who's running this crazy, and he's talking about, you know, cancer cures that are totally bogus.
Hey, Jim, hit your buff dump there. This is a teaching hospital. We do talk about our process. Have you hit your buff dump? Yeah. And you can't be doing anything else on the internet while we're connected like this. We're going to get decent sound quality. So, Jim, if we want to completely – we can come back to Zeitgeist, but if we want to completely alienate most of our listeners on talk radio, tell me your opinions on 9/11.
Why are you doing this to me, man? So
why am I asking your opinions on an opinion-based radio show? I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah, you're trying to make everyone hate me. All right, so yeah, I buy the official story. It's 100% true. No, really? Not really.
No.
As far as the science goes, I'm behind the quote-unquote official story, whatever that is. The argument that, you know, the reason why they hate us, the only reason why they hate us is because of Britney Spears and Coca-Cola is totally false. If you read the Bin Laden fatwa, it's very clear that we've been over there for, you know, centuries messing with their geopolitical areas and installing dictators and bombing their country and killing all their people for decades. And our continued support for Israel has made them mad. And the fact that, you know, we're not Christians.
Well, and actually,
so we're only getting one or two parts of those.
Actually, it is common for people to say what you just said of, oh, they hate us. You know, the people think they hate us for our freedom and hate us for Britney Spears and Coca-Cola, but it's really about Israel and it's about American boots over there since World War One. You know, bossing them around, and that is a lot of it. Mm-hmm. But you referenced the letter that Bin Laden, the open letter from Bin Laden, his fatwa, it does mention Britney Spears, basically. I mean, it doesn't say her by name, but it's one of his complaints mm-hmm. is, you're a nation that exploits, I'm quoting, you're a nation that exploits women like consumer products or advertising tools, calling upon consumers to purchase them. You use women to serve passengers, visitors, and strangers to increase your profit margins. Then you rant that you support the liberation of women. So, and there are other things in this, other complaints. I mean, really, this is really going to get me kicked off conservative talk radio, but I think Obama is a socialist, a liar, and his feet stink. So I don't think I'm a liberal, but that's not what's going to get kicked off. What I am going to say that could get me kicked off is a lot of Bin Laden's complaints about America are also conservatives' complaints about America. I mean, he's complaining mm-hmm. that, like, women are out in the workplace, and he's complaining that, you know, the media is immoral, and he's complaining that we, you know, America allows intoxicants to be served, and that, you know, America permits usury, you know, the lending of money, and, can you know, that America does not have absolute authority to the Lord and Creator. You know, these are all complaints I've heard from conservative mm-hmm. Republicans.
Yep. Well, Michael, they do hate us for those things, but they kill us because we're over there.
Yeah. Here's something.
They target us specifically because there's also Europe and stuff like that, but the European nations aren't over there meddling all the time.
Yeah, they are, and they are targeted to some extent, too. There is Islamo-fascist terrorism in Europe, too.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But not nearly... Here's something, as we are,
here's something Bin Laden said that sounds like a lot of American conservatives. We call you to be a people of manners, principle, honor, and purity, to reject the immoral acts of fornication, homosexuality, intoxicants, gambling, and trading with interest. Maybe not the trading with interest part, but yeah, man. It sounds he's a pretty conservative guy. He was. He's evil as heck. I'm not sticking up for him. I'm basically saying know your enemy. And here's my belief on 9/11 is it's probably something like the official statement, but the thing that is completely ignored is the why it happened, which is basically because America's been over there since, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, acting like the police of the world, killing them and taking their land and their oil and bossing them around. And I go back
to the overthrow of the Mossad. Nothing.
What's that? What?
Instead of the overthrow of the Mossad and the installment of the Shah, that was really kicked off that stuff. So,
well, yeah, that was a lot later though. It's been going on longer than that, but that was a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, America doesn't like democracy. They throw democratic leaders out, man.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org. Freedom Fiends. Let's do Redemption in the third act. This is the final segment of the final hour of this day's Freedom Fiends. I'm talking to Jim Jesus and Randy England. I'm Michael Dean. So the Fiend Phone Indiegogo is over, and part of the perk is reading the names of people who donated. I read the people who donated less than $50 the other night. That was the agreement. And the weekend ones, which I want to read now, are the people who donated over $50. Kevin McKernan, PGB1. I don't know who that is. If there's a name to go with that, let me know. Anonymous, that's someone else. And Dave TBH, don't know who that is. These are all through Indiegogo. Don't really have a name associated with them. Terrence Gillespie and Carl. I don't know how you have never heard him say his last name. It's LEHAR-MIKES. Carl. I just know him as Carl. Tim Fry from Roberts and Roberts. All right. Thanks, y'all. You're changing the universe. Worms. Bye-bye. And yeah, thanks, everybody, for helping out. We're going to have more. Derek's going to have more improvements on Fiend Phone coming up. Worms. And I guess I wanted to finish up here a little bit on 9/11, because that's kind of a, you can't really pull back that rock and let those beasts and worms come running, writhing out without corralling them and explaining them. So I guess my take on it is really similar to Ben Stone's, which is, I don't doubt that the American government or federal government or any government throughout history would be involved in false flags. I mean, America got into the Vietnam War under a false flag, Gulf of Tonkin. That's a fact. There's no disputing that. America probably got into the Iraq War under false information about weapons of mass destruction. That's pretty commonly accepted and not really considered much of a conspiracy theory because the government's admitted it. But everyone still backs it and says, oh, we need to be over there. We need to. Who's this we? You got a mouse in your pocket? All right. So, but my belief is that any government would do these things, but most of the things presented as truth aren't very convincing to me. And that's what I want Jim to talk about a little bit here. I kind of feel like it's pretty bizarre to me when people, especially people who are atheists, act religious about something. And there's a concept of statheism, which is statists who are atheists who don't realize that the love of government is a religion and they are religious about it. And a lot of people are very religious about 9/11 trutherism. What say you, Jim?
The 9/11 truth people, yeah, it's a religion. And they say things that have been like discredited thoroughly over and over and over. And the more you confront it, the more it's...
I think you're a government. You're a government plant. I think you must be a government plant. These things.
Well, how come I haven't gotten my check yet?
I know. That's what I always say. When people accuse me of being funded by the Koch brothers, I say, where's my check then?
Yeah. Where do I apply for this magical job?
Yeah, the check came when they didn't file that criminal charge, but go on.
Yeah, for thinking like that.
The jet fuels don't melt steel beams. It's been addressed like a million times. It wasn't melted. It was loss of structural integrity when it got hot. Maybe there's also even crazier ones where they talk about space beams burning down burning down the towers. And what is it? The argument that the planes going into the buildings were just CGI. There was no planes that crashed into the buildings.
What about the thousands of people? I have friends that I've known since I was in my 20s from San Francisco who lived in New York who witnessed that happening. And I believe them. So were they looking at a hologram? How was it CGI?
I think the hologram, people say that there's a hologram that's doing that. Or they're just paid shills. Listen to them.
Don't listen to your good friends.
They're just lying.
Don't listen to your good friends that don't like the government. They're paid shills of the government. Yeah. Randy, you got comments here, Randy?
Where do I sign up for this job?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. You mean how much I think of it as a government plot?
I guess, yeah.
You know, I don't buy into too many conspiracies. I think the only government conspiracy I'm pretty sold on is the old TWA Flight 800. I think they shot that down by accident and covered it up.
Yeah, I think so too. What do you think, Jim?
That's about the only one I've seen rock solid evidence for. And all the other things that they accuse the government of, you know, I mean, 9/11 and whatever else, my thought on it is that, yeah, any of that stuff could be true in the sense that, oh, yeah, they're capable of it. But I don't know which conspiracies they're guilty of and which ones they're not. And I don't even care because I don't want them anyway. I mean, they could just go quietly off into the darkness.
Who, government?
Fine with it.
The
yes.
State? Yeah, I think the biggest, the bigger issue with conspiracy theories is that government is a conspiracy theory. It only exists because people believe in it as a collective hallucination, and everything it does would be illegal and get you charged for conspiracy if you were a citizen and did it.
And I think you shouldn't give undue credit to the government. Don't say they can do things they can never do. They're not that cool.
Yeah. Worms.
Worms.
Thanks, guys. Worms. It's been a good show. Jim Jesus and Randy England.
Michael.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
I'm a big kid now.
I'm a big kid now. Give me a worms, guys.
Worms.
Jim Jesus, where can people find you on the internet, Jim Jesus?
LibertariansAgainstHumanity.com or JimJesus.com.
Worms. So if you want to complain and yell at him, he likes it.
Yes, send me an email.